happy to be before you this evening in the very last speech of this particular debate on the container question or cup question, and to respond to the things that were just said. I want to first of all thank the church here for hosting this and the audience for certainly being good in the discussion. You've indicated a lot of interest, a lot of things have been said, nice things about my efforts, and I know about his. I've certainly enjoyed this part of the discussion. Look forward to Thursday and Friday night. I trust that everyone will be there. It's a totally different thing. We're going to have a lot of scripture Thursday and Friday night as far as establishing Bible authority and really what it's all about. Tonight and last night, simply discussing one figure of speech, how the word cup is used. One word. I began my first affirmative last night by saying this debate will begin and end over the idea of the use of the word C-U-P. Whether it's used in a literal way, a figurative way, whether it means three different things, as he has affirmed, or whether it means one thing consistently in respect to the Lord's Supper. And that's exactly what it begins and ends on. And you study this out for yourself, and when you come to a conclusion, you understand how it's used, that of course there's not going to be any division upon this. I pray to God that the time might come when honest and sincere people, I believe that you are, don't think you'd be here if you weren't. I don't think you came out just to champion some cause. Anyone who did that, I'd rebuke you. I believe we come out here to discuss the Word of God with open minds and open hearts and open Bibles to have to see what the Bible has to say. Well, he starts off, and I want to follow him. He starts off by saying, I build straw men. Of course, this is a natural debater type of thing. We can't see his point, don't understand his point, or don't believe his point. If many things he says look like a straw man. That's exactly what he said looks to me. Because he uses example after that. Jesus took one cup. He blessed one cup. I agree with every word he says, except what he thinks the cup is. I teach that. Practice it. Believe it. He used my chart number two. The idea of the definition of the proterion and then the different ways that it's used. He agrees all the different ways until he comes to the Lord's Supper and then simply says that this is not right. It always means not what I say that it means in that particular thing. He said, quote, he can get righteous indignation, but it just blow. Well, I don't really believe that. I believe I'm convicted or I wouldn't be here, Joe. And I want to learn the truth. If I'm wrong, I want to change. If you're wrong, I want you to change. And I'm here because I'm just as sincere as you are. If you're any more sincere than I am, it's because you have more ability to be sincere with. I stood for the truth all of my life, as far as I know. I've never backed down on what I believe is the truth. And I'm willing to meet and discuss with anybody anywhere. Any preachers here, take notice. Anywhere we work it out, I'm ready. And I'll continue to be ready until my dying breath. I believe discussion like this do good. And I appreciate the fact many people have already told me that they've done them a lot of good. And the issues are very, very plain. Now, he talks about fair. He talks about fair, and he reads a little bit, and then he quits reading. Page 533, what fair says about this proterion, he first says a cup, a drinking vessel, and then he uses an A and a B. And under A, he says properly, gives some scriptures, and under that he says with a genitive of a thing with which the cup is filled, by metonymy, still under A, not under something else like he indicated last night. But by metonymy of the container, of the contained, the contents of the cup, what is offered to be drunk? Luke 22 in verse 30. Now, fair says Luke 22 in verse 30 has to do with that. Now, you know, people, when we go home tonight, we're going to have to just get our Bibles, and we're going to have to get the passages out and read them and see how it's used. I think when we do that, you know, it's an amazing thing. The farmer out working all day doesn't have time to become a scholar or something. He can read it, and I think he's understood the truth on it all the time. Don't think, just take the passages and read them and study them. I think they're very easy and plain, and you don't have to be wrong upon them. Now, he says, to redeem myself, I've got to show one lexicon where a cup refers to fruit of the vine. Well, I read and read and read at page 533 of there, where he said it means that which is offered to be drunk in Luke chapter 22 and in verse 20. And the statement is made over here. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Well, what is it? It's that which is offered to be drunk. I read a passage that I'll have them hand out, not right now, but I'll simply have them hand out at the door if you'd like to have a copy of it. I read from scholar after scholar on the very thing here discussing this particular phrase. What pictures what? The cup is a New Testament in my blood. Luke 22, 20. Thayer says that that has to do with what is offered to be drunk. And he says the same thing in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 25. The statement is made here. The cup is the New Testament in my blood. That's what is offered to be drunk. Now, in these two passages, he took the cup saying, this is my blood of the New Testament. Quote, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. He's saying the same thing. When he says, this cup is the blood of my New Testament, then the cup is a New Testament in my blood. Is he saying one thing one time, the very opposite somewhere else? I don't believe so. I think he's saying exactly the same thing. He took the cup saying, this is my blood of the New Testament. It's my blood that ratifies, makes operative the New Testament. This cup is a New Testament in my blood shed for you. What is the idea here? This cup, always root of the vine, it is to you what? It's the blood that ratifies and makes operative the New Testament, and you couldn't have a New Testament without Jesus Christ dying for our sins. In 1 Corinthians 11, 25, this cup is a New Testament in my blood as often as ye drink it. Now note, this is the New Testament in my blood. Same thing as this is my blood of the New Testament. It's a metonymy of effect put for cause. In John 11, 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Well, he's the cause of it. Is Jesus the resurrection? No, he's the cause of it. It's a metonymy of effect for cause. The cup, the fruit of the vine, the blood to us, is the New Testament. The effect of it is a ratified New Testament. And he shed his blood in order that we might have a ratified New Testament. Now, I read these a while ago, very hastily. My time was very precious, the last speech especially. But in my blood, the pulpit commentary points out the cup was a symbol of the blood of Christ. Now, the cup was a symbol of the blood of Christ. Is a container a symbol of the blood of Christ? He doesn't believe that. He agrees with my position. That fruit of the vine is a symbol of the blood of Christ. And there it is. The ratification of the cup was commonly associated with the shedding of blood. And what was written in blood was believed to be indelible. A.T. Robertson says that. These authorities, Adam Clark, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, it says, the cup is called the new covenant in my blood. That is, it is a pledge and seal and means of importing the blessings of the New Testament. It takes the blood to ratify, make operative the New Testament, and therefore import the blessings of it. And this is the idea that I'm simply talking about. Now, I want to use my chart A, please, transparency A. I picked up a little book last night. You passed them out, and this is a statement in here. And I point out the fact that Corinth used a plurality of drinking vessels. And he did not deny that. He agrees that they had a plurality of drinking vessels. Now, what he did say, he doesn't think that's the Lord's Supper. He thinks that's a social meal. Now, if I misrepresent, call my attention right now. I don't do. You say that's a social meal. Is that right? I'm saying that's what you said. That's what we all understood to say. We played them a tape today that that was not the Lord's Supper. He said, no, they didn't come together to eat the Lord's Supper. They couldn't eat the Lord's Supper. Well, 1 Corinthians 11, 21, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper. Everyone took his own. They brought the elements themselves, obviously. One is hungry, another drunken. He agreed with me last night that drunken doesn't mean intoxicated. It means overdrunk or had plenty to drink. One person has used his contrast. One person did not have very much to drink. Some had a lot to drink. One's hungry, one's drunk. Contrary. It proves all did not drink out of the same vessel, or all would have had the same amount. So one had all he wanted. Some didn't have hardly any. Now they certainly brought that, and they brought that. The teaching Paul is condemning the manner in which they took it. And that's the whole idea of it. He never condemned the elements that they had. He never condemned the kind of food or bread they had. He didn't condemn the beverage that they had. And he and I, neither one, believe it's an alcoholic beverage. We preach against that, teach against it. We don't believe that. But they simply brought it themselves. Now, the very point is simply this. This shows the way in which they were doing it. And he said, when you come together, it's not possible to eat the Lord's Supper. The next word says, far. And the idea is, the Greek word is gar. In other words, whenever you come to this word, gar, it annexes a reason to it. He said it's not possible to eat the Lord's Supper, far. And this word there says on page 109, it adduces the cause or gives the reason of the preceding statement or opinion. Now Paul said it's not possible to eat the Lord's Supper, far in your eating. Each one taking before other his own supper. One's hungry, one's drunken. You talk about individual right there. But the idea of cup is fruit of the vine. It's fruit of the vine. It doesn't matter how it's contained. You can contain the cup of the Lord, the fruit of the vine, any way that you want to. Now, the book that he passed out last night, I guess it's his authority, written by Alfred L. Newberry, agrees with me on this. He says, you've already, it is equally crucial, though, for a Christian to observe the Lord's Supper in truth. In other words, the mechanics involved in the supper must be in total harmony with the divine pattern. The Corinthian congregation had so destroyed the correct mechanics of the communion that Paul said their efforts were no longer recognized as constituting the Lord's Supper. That's what I said last night. They were corrupting the thing the way in which they were doing it. Therefore, it was not possible for them to eat it. But it is the Lord's Supper. They can't eat the Lord's Supper. They corrupted it in such a way that you couldn't even call it the Lord's Supper the way in which they did. And whenever a person comes today to the assembly, his mind's on a vacation or going fishing or something else, he drinks, eats the bread, drinks the fruit of the vine, he's not even thinking about it. It's not possible to eat the Lord's Supper like that either. You better have your mind on the cross of Christ, the fact that he died for you, the fact that he shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Well, on the questions, he said, will a congregation of Christians be condemned for using one drinking vessel? And I said, when you practice, teach false doctrine, I think you're wrong. And I point out the fact the Mountain View Church of Christ, the First Christian Church split in my hometown, went out and they didn't have a piano. Would you condemn them? They all believed in it. They all believed false doctrine, but didn't have one. Was their practice under question? I think it's just wrong to believe the false doctrine. Isn't practice it? If not, what, why not? Personally, can believe something is wrong. I believe we ought to come to a meeting of the minds, and then we won't have all this particular thing. He says his practice is not under question. That's why I came over here, because it is. His practice of teaching what I believe to be false doctrine on it is under question. And I affirm that his practice certainly is under question. Quickly, the new charts that he used in this last speech. I didn't catch the numbers. I caught one or two of them, but if you have them, holler when 10 minutes or 15, whatever. All right. Holler at me when 10. A thing is not an incidental if it has spiritual significance. I agree with that. Took the bread, it's his body. Took the cup, fruit of the vine, it's his blood. I agree with something. If it has spiritual significance, it's important. I don't see anything on there to answer. Next chart, please. The crucifixion, there are three events of spiritual significance. He was killed, his blood was shed, New Testament ratified. I agree with that. I agree with it. Next chart, please. I don't believe you used that one. I think you said don't use that one. Did you? You used it, Arne. I'm sorry. I couldn't see them all. Showing forth the Lord's death, the Lord's Supper, the memorial of Christ's crucifixion. It points back to the cross. The loaf points back to the body, the fruit of the vine points to the blood. The chalice or emblem to the New Testament. I deny that. I've already done it. Next door, please. All right, where Bonner stands, all of these passages, robbers and strong, clear all of them, the drinking vessel, cup, thing out of which one drinks. Well, didn't have Luke 22:20 up there where Thayer plainly says it's what's offered to be drunk. And all these passages, I haven't checked all of these, don't have them here with me, to check to see if they use these passages in connection with a literal drinking vessel. But you haven't told us what time, where it means, and you haven't done it. The Bonner says you can't divide a cup. Here's a passage. Jesus says he took it, and of course they took it, gave thanks, said, this is my, divided among yourselves. Now we can divide the cup of the Lord, but you can't divide the time that he said. And while I'm right there, I've got to say something that I don't want to forget. Now here is a vessel that he calls a cup, and of course it's filled with the fruit of the vine. I would have no objection, scripturally, if a congregation didn't teach false doctrine, then it had to be just that way. Well, I preached one place up in Nebraska when I first started about 34 years ago, where a lady said, boy, if you ever put a Baptist in this building, I'll quit. Gotta be in the lake. It was her practice scripture. Could it be in a running water? She said, could it be in running water? I said, could we put the stop right on one end, turn the hose on the other end? She said, no, can't be that. Gotta be in running water. Well, her practice wasn't under question, but her doctrine was, her false doctrine was, upon it. Cup refers to fruit of the vine. This doesn't have any fruit of the vine in it. Don't even have a cup here. Doesn't have a bit of fruit of the vine in it. Maybe he wants me to fill it up. But you can drink the bottle by pouring it, any kind of fluid. Just like you can drink a kettle by dividing the kettle. You can drink the well. I have a canteen over there, and you can drink the well. I can do it hundreds of miles from that spring in Colorado where it is. I want to make one point here that I did. He has more charts than this. Nice, Art. Art Bonner's chart, what cup can mean. He's total disregard for scholarship. I deny it categorically. He's willing to mislead you, the audience. He is willing. That's violating heads of you, rules. Don't you know that? Him hitting my
corner
right there. Pass up that.
We also had a violation of the introduction of new material just a moment ago.
He's entering
a little pamphlet that you picked up. Brother Heisel did not introduce into this discussion, Brother Ryan.
Okay.
You read.
I apologize. That's new material. I apologize. The argument wasn't new. I've already used the argument.
But that was new material.
It was not a new argument. I made the argument last night. Maybe in the night. It was not a new argument. I've used it.
You've used the same argument repeatedly. But the material, the reference that was made, was material that was new, that had not been introduced in the affirmative by Brother Heisel. So you introduced the material, and then you referred to it in the negative. In my judgment, that's a violation of the spirit of David's rules.
Well, I have a debate book over here discussing the idea of what you can introduce and what you can't. I don't think that it is.
All right.
But whether it is, then erase it from your minds. Don't use it. It is what you passed out, what we had last night, what everybody had a copy of.
The point I'm making is that Hedges' rules are subjective, and that there is a little bit of leeway both ways. So don't try to arbitrarily make it so stringent in reference to Brother Heisel.
Well, when he says I'm willing, mislead. I'm not willing to mislead anybody anywhere.
All right.
That's impugning motives. I take it that way. Is it impugning motives?
You say your charts suggest that.
Is he impugning my motive right when he says I'm willing?
What I'm suggesting is that his chart suggests that that's the case. Now we'll just look at that.
Dark time. Produce one lexicon that will render cup in these passages as fruit of the vine. The lexicons define words. Some of them go ahead and tell you what they think it means for some particular thing, but I've shown you time and time again all the passages on it, and I'm going to do it again in just a second. I want to get to one more thing here. Did it have another chart that I hadn't looked at?
I've got about three more.
All right, real quick. All right, okay, Thompson Community Service. Here it came. Maybe an apple. I'm going to deal with that in just a second. Next one. All right, for 40 years, the firing line, G.C. Brewer says he's the first one to introduce it. We've all heard that all of our lives, I guess. Next one. I'll deal with it in just a second. Same, yes, same, one cup. I believe that, but I believe it's the fruit of the vine. I believe it's the fruit of the vine. And that's the whole idea. The cup is fruit of the vine. That's why I said this debate will begin and end. Oh, the use of a word, which certainly is a metonymy, and it's used in respect of the Lord's Supper. Now you talk about G.C. Brewer, 1915. We married my good mother, who obeyed the gospel in 1904, last April. She lived a long time before 1915. She was born 1891. I talked to my mother. Hadn't been over a year or two since I talked to her about this particular thing. I said, Mother, you still got a sharp memory, you're a sharp person. Nearly 95 years old, like 3 months, been 95 years old last spring, last April when she died. I said, Mother, when you were a little girl growing up, your dad fought the Civil War. He was a Christian. How was it done? What did you do? She thought, said, yeah, I kind of think we did use one container. And she said, I said, well, you begin to use more? Yeah, we did. I said, well, did anybody check? She said, no, but we never did think the vessel was the cup. Just because a person happened to use that, I wouldn't have anything against it if he didn't teach false doctrine. She said they didn't teach false doctrine on it. That's what my mother told me. She never had lied to me yet. The idea that just because something started like that, boy, people say, when did the Baptist start? I've been preaching 34 years, June, 1st of June. I can remember when people began to use projection screens like this. Some said, never have had it, got to be wrong. And I affirm that's the way the objection to this particular thing came in. It always was wrong. Many people did not object because they could simply see the truth of the matter at the point. I don't believe for one second the idea of cup in respect to the Lord's Supper has anything to do with a literal drinking vessel. Now Jesus, yes, he had to have some kind of container. It may have been one container. The figure of metonymy doesn't demand one container. Because when he says he took the cup, he's referring to the fruit of the vine. It could have been a container anyway. It may be in one container. But I've mentioned already that according to the very best scholars we have, back then what they did, Jesus took some fruit of the vine, and each one had a container in front of him and filled it and drank it, and they had either three or four scholars of disagree. They filled those containers in front of the men either three or four times, and they did drink. Now, I have 10 minutes left, and I want to, lest I can not get to it. Got to do one more thing before I do. Time is so precious. He observed the Passover on so many things. He accuses me of not following him. I've tried to. What did he say as I passed the questions out and read them? Number four, according to your belief, was each person take the fruit of the vine, the Lord's Supper, drink from one drinking vessel, put his lips. He didn't say. And I don't know. I debated one man a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, who said it's fine to take straw or a spoon or pour into his own container. This debate is beginning going to end without me even finding out what he believes on that. Get him asking some questions. He observed the Passover on that. Question number five was the table of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 21, a literal table. He observed the Passover on that. Don't know what he said. Number six, can any kind of a drinking vessel other than a drink cup? He said, if it's called a cup. So that last night, got to call it a cup. Well, suppose I begin to call that canteen a cup. Would that make it scripture? Call a dog's tail a leg? Would he have five legs? Calling something a cup doesn't demand. I objected to your proposition. You did not define the word cup. You just said, well, we all know what a cup is. Oh, I wouldn't know. I could meet something. I just don't know. I wouldn't. Did Corinth and Ephesus bless the same cup? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, the Bible plainly says over here, Paul was at Ephesus writing to the church at Corinth. He said, the cup of blessing which we bless. They blessed the same cup. What was it, a container? No, it was fruit of the vine. And yet, he observed the Passover on so many of these questions. Since the Lord's Supper is a memorial, the bread signifies something we don't have, the body of Christ. The fruit of the vine signifies that we don't have the blood of Christ. We don't have it in the flesh and blood. Why would we need a container to signify a New Testament that we do have? Now you'd call our flag a memorial. It's a standard under which we go and march and loyal to. You get an old flag, yeah. You get the old 13. That might be a memorial to the 13 colonies. Call your mind back to them. Something we don't have now as 13 colonies. But the Lord's Supper is a memorial. And we don't need something, call our mind something we already have in that respect. Well, I want to, in closing, like for you to pick up your sheets. Good friends, neighbors, and brethren, when you go home tonight, take all the passages and read them. Matthew, he wouldn't answer this, didn't he? He referred to a few of them. He certainly didn't all of them. I got a bunch of blanks on there. He did not do. Tried to get him to do it last night. Just read the passages. How much time? All right. In Matthew 26:27, and he took the cup. Jesus took the cup. Was that a drinking vessel, fruit of the vine, or both? What was it? And gave it, the cup, to them, saying, drink ye all of it, the cup. For this, what? This cup. is my blood of the New Testament. You just can't check that anything except fruit of the vine. The cup here is his blood. Whatever signifies the blood is what the cup is. Now you go home tonight, get your Bible out and read the passage, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. In verse 29, for I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine. He names it. There, name what the cup is, the fruit of the vine. Until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. In Mark 14:23, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it, it refers the cup to them, and they all drank of out of it. And he said unto them, this cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of this, out of this fruit of the vine, until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Luke 22:17-20, and he took the cup and gave thanks for what? For the cup. And said, take this what? This cup, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine. He names what the cup is, until the kingdom of God come. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless. We're told that at the Passover, the last cup, either the third or the fourth, whichever one, was referred to as the cup of blessing. Possibly that's why it's called the cup of blessing here in respect to the Lord's Supper. But the cup of blessing which we bless, is it the cup, not the communion of the blood of Christ? Now when you read that, you don't get drinking vessel as a communion of the blood of Christ. You don't get drinking vessel filled with fruit of the vine as the blood of Christ. What you get is fruit of the vine as the blood of Christ. It not the communion of the blood of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:25-28. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it. Whatever it is, it's something you drink. There it didn't say even drink out of, but it's the very thing you drink. We know we do not drink. We do not drink a drinking vessel. What we do is drink fluid. Just like I can drink Rocky Mountain Spring. I can drink the very spring, by drinking that water in that jug right over there, that canteen. You drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, the cup is the thing you drink. Now is that referring to drinking vessel? Is that referring to drinking vessel? Is that referring to fruit of the vine, or is that referring to both? When it says the very thing you drink. Drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. The Bible used the idea of drink out of the fruit of the vine, drink out of the same Greek word ek, out of the fruit of the vine, out of the bread, out of the cup. I affirm that simply talking about the source there. Jesus took some source. He took some source. He blessed that source. And the source is the fruit of the vine. Then, of course, they divided among themselves. They had it. That's the very thing we do today. We take fruit of the vine and something like this, we bless it. And just when we bless it, to us it is the blood of Jesus Christ. And we divide it among ourselves by passing it around, everyone taking some. I still don't know. I don't know. I really don't know how it violated you. Like some of you say, they just have every straw. You'd be getting out of the same container. Have put lips on it. I don't know. By the way, you've said time and time again, last night and tonight, I will agree that one time in debating Nichols that I did say, if I were going to drink it, I think I'd be on the front pew. Boy, if I said what you said I'd do, I sure can't remember it. I know it had been over a decade if I ever did. And I've talked to you about that. The idea that I said I'd have my spot marked off and I'd do all of that. I'd do it. If I did that, I don't remember. Might not be a bad idea, but I just don't remember saying that. But when people come to your house, do you get them individual containers or you get a big dinner? Do you just pass it around, or what do you do? See, the point on that is on sanitation. Now, you know, if it's not unsanitary, then no use for own a bunch of them, just own one, I guess. I don't know. But that might be a consideration of some. If people, some of our people are so faithful, they come to the church and got the flu. They come when they're sick. And it could be a little, I think, if they're sick, you know, when they come. Some of them do. We've had some lately. I don't understand really why it is. Go home tonight. What I say, what he says, is not the question. Who's going to win a debate? Everyone that learns truth. Everyone that is richer. Everyone who knows more about defending the truth and rebuking error, or overcoming error. Take this sheet tonight. Go home tonight. You study every one of these passages. And when you study them, you make up your mind. You ask yourself the question.